You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
Another insane... I can't believe there's only one game left of this World Cup. Oh, my God. In fact, my wife called me and she goes, how much longer is this World Cup? And I said to her what I just said to you, which is today's show is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Alexis. Do not do what everybody else is doing and do this third place game erasure. We all watch it. We all tune in. We have two matches remaining in this World Cup. Enough of this nonsense.
So let me get this straight. You actually... Wait, hold on. Let me get this straight. You think those two countries... You think Morocco and who's the other one?
Croatia.
And Croatia. You think Morocco and Croatia are really going to bring it for the bronze?
They better. Okay, I tune in because I'm a hardcore soccerer. All right.
I remember the Vice documentary on those guys, dude.
Okay, I tune into every game. I have all the VHS tapes of every third place game of every single World Cup. Okay. So I'm
what's your favorite third place game? No.
So what's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I am Alexis Guerrero.
We are still crushing it day in, day out.
End of the show. We're still crushing it day in, day out. Thanks.
You know, COVID is not going away. I tested positive again today. I don't know why. I'm feeling 200%.
You sound a little congested. I honestly think you just want to be back around Nutmeg. I think that's what this whole thing is. I don't think you got COVID.
It's just a nice little vacation. Yeah. Me and the puppy.
A little staycation.
Little pupcation. Okay, we all need it. We all need it. There you go. but that doesn't change the fact that we're still going to be here delivering daily episodes for the World Cup. And today I'm excited because we have an awesome guest, a hilarious comedian, a dear friend, teammate on the pitch as well on Cooligans FC. Alex Pavone will be joining us in a bit to give us some of the best gambling tips throughout this World Cup and beyond.
Yeah, and by the way, it's at your discretion whether you take these gambling tips or not, because I would just say before you rush to do what he's saying, listen to everything else that comes out of his mouth, and then you decide if this is the guy you want to follow.
Right. But it's very fitting for a Cooligans guest gambler. You know what I mean? You're not gonna. 100%. We're not getting you the you know what? Who is it? Todd McShay. I don't even know if that's a guy that does.
Oh, are you coming here for analysis? You came to the wrong place.
Is that his name? I think. Yeah. Name.
Guys, you walked into an urgent care, not a hospital. Okay. You're lucky you leave here with the same amount of digits you walked in.
So we should get right to that. We'll obviously talk about the upcoming final. We'll recap the game between Morocco and France. But before that, let's talk to Alex Pavone and get some gambling tips from the gambling comedian. I've just coined that for him. That's who he is now.
He's going to hate that. This is our interview with him. Oh, we got another guest here, Christian.
Let's go. Okay. Find the homies coming through. More and more homies.
Well, the last guest we had didn't know a lot about the sport, but got into it with the World Cup. This next guest knows a lot about the sport and got into it because he owes really the main sponsor of this show, DraftKings, a lot of money. Okay.
He's here to, you know, make do. He's open to show face.
This is part of his vig.
I need a promo. Help me.
So the voice you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, one of the funniest people we know, Alex Pavone.
I don't know. Alex. I just sent it across. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It felt right. Like you're
fourth up the bat.
That's what I do before every parlay. to the DraftKings.
This is the first person we've had on our show that like really understands gambling, and I'm really interested in how that works during the World Cup.
Oh, okay. Good this World Cup.
A lot of upsets. Is that why?
I generally will not lay a lot of money on favorites because, you know, when you're taking a big favorite, it makes no sense.
Right.
You're going to risk $200 to win $100, let's just say, if you're betting that.
So you got to risk it on the underdog.
That, or you could do you could bet on a draw and then the draw no bet. So you could take the underdog to win, and if they don't win, it's a void bet but if there's a draw, you win that. So you could sort of like hedge your bets that way. And this tournament's been pretty good for underdogs. So is that why I'm on, by the way? I was like, what are we going to talk about? And then you're like, gambling. I'm like, here we go.
Yeah, then he doesn't stop talking for 17 minutes.
Like a prairie dog. Look, I'm like,
Not only is, Pavone an experienced gambler, he's also a hilarious comedian and also an unbelievable midfielder. Played on Cooligans FC for multiple seasons. My man can ball.
Can we get you bigger and just him out? I like that whole thing.
Oh, this is all you want is plaudits? Is that why you came on this
hilarious,
show?
Hilarious, great gambler. Well, not great gambler, but everything.
I said you were hilarious. This guy said you could play on a team of a bunch of people who's never played soccer before.
I can still see the brim of your hat. Just out a bit.
and he's also Canadian. So I think we should start there and talk about Canada. There it is.
We the North.
That's us.
Let's go. Can we reflect a little bit on Canada's time at the World Cup? Obviously, their first World Cup in a very, very long time.
Your lifetime.
I was born in 86. So
that was the last time they were in.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's been you've been the curse.
Yes. If you look at it that way, yes, yeah. I am the problem. I'm the reason they haven't qualified.
How'd you feel about their time in Qatar?
First game was came out the gates guns a blazing. Missed the penalty kick. Should have won that game. And then, you know, Croatia was a bit of a disappointment. And then Morocco, we had them in the second half. We should have tied, but. But then you look at the semis and you're like, oh, we were in the group of death. We had the group of death.
You know
we had the two semifinalists.
If you would have said this like first week of the World Cup, I would have been like, look at this guy trying to get a little bit of respect. But now when you look back, you might not be wrong.
No, not at all.
By far the toughest group.
I think so. I think Belgium was the worst team in the group. And they were the second ranked team in the world, right?
So,
were they not?
So this is a conversation Christian and I had, and I think you and I might have texted about this. But now looking back, you didn't win any games.
No.
You scored a goal, right?
Two goals.
One was Davies and an own goal, right?
An own goal, Morocco. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And he's Canadian. So
the keeper?
The fix was in a little bit.
Yeah, The keeper's like, look, I don't represent your country, but I'll put the hands up.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me be born there. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, whoopsie daisy.
Hey, that for healthcare for a couple of weeks wasn't bad. There it goes. So this is the true question. Now looking back, was this a good World Cup for Canadian soccer?
Yes, because we were there and just being there and being competitive.
But don't you think you were good enough to deserve more? You were top of the group in qualifying.
Yeah, but it's a completely different. Right. It's different. It's now the pressure's on and now every team is playing at you know, their best players and desperate and they want to win. I think it's a bit different.
You don't think teams wanted to qualify? You don't think Mexico wanted to qualify? You don't think Honduras wanted to qualify? You don't think US wanted to qualify?
No, they did. They did, but there's more of a leeway in the qualifying than there is in the World Cup. You have one bad game, you're potentially out of the tournament, but in qualifying, it's years, right?
Right.
And that I think is something that, you know, there's less pressure in that. But in the World Cup,
also, the advantage that Canada had in playing several of their qualifying games in 3-degree weather.
Exactly. Oh, no, for sure. Against Mexico.
In a Pixar film about dog sledding.
Yeah. In Alberta. I've never seen a guy like miss a slide tackle and then throw a snowball at the guy's head.
Yeah.
He just had it ready to go.
It's dangerous. And they get mad at us when we play in Minnesota. These guys are playing north of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's far. Edmonton, I remember that. The Ice Bowl, what they call it? The Ice Bowl or something?
Yeah.
I bet on that game. I will tell you, I bet on that game. I took Canada on that game. the Mexicans were they were freezing. It was it wasn't even the game didn't even start. They were like, oh, deal me, and I'm like, okay, let's hammer this. Yeah, yeah. Call up Nona.
He's like, your phone's slipping out of your hand. You can't even get it.
I'm like, put Nona's house on the line. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, let's refinance her mortgage. I saw Terry Bradshaw talking about it on TV. But when you look at who in Canada stood out, obviously Alfonso Davies, we already knew. We didn't know he could play every position on the field, which he had to.
Yeah.
But who else stood out? Who did you walk away from going like, hey, yo, we got a gamer here?
I thought Buchanan, but I already knew he was good.
He shined at a level much bigger than we thought.
He definitely shined. Yeah. He was definitely unbelievable. Yeah. I thought our keeper was not good.
Not when he took the sweatpants off. When that kid looked like he was taking the garbage out, oh, what a keeper. You know?
Yeah,
you could laugh on microphone. Yeah, by the
way.
Let people know I'm funny. I don't know. You've done this before.
Buchanan was wicked. I thought the
kid from Porto.
That kid's awesome.
Incredible.
Estacchio. Wicked. And I also thought the backs were good. The guy with the weird looking from.
Yeah, Alistair Johnston.
Doesn't he look like he's from Space Jam?
Alistair Johnston, I think, got on like the worst 11 for the World Cup. Yeah.
No, he played pretty good.
No, I'm being serious. I think
he signed with someone good after the tournament.
With Celtic. He just signed with Celtic.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
The Boston Celtics. Jesus, congratulations. Hey, man. There you go.
And it's green, too. Yeah. And what's his name? The black kid on the right. He plays for Toronto FC. I thought he was pretty good, too. I think he played pretty well. Defender.
Richie Larea.
I thought he played really well.
Richie Larea, Ricky Larea.
Richie Larea.
I thought
John Herdman, the coach, obviously, he got into a little thing. After the loss to Belgium, he did say that he was asked about the game and he was just basically said, you know, we're gonna move forward, but we're gonna F Croatia right afterward. I don't know if you saw those comments.
I did.
But
he said we're gonna fuck Croatia.
Yeah,
which is a weird way of saying you're going to beat a team.
where that isn't typical. He's not Canadian.
No, that's what we were all saying. We're like, fucking Scottish or whatever. Yeah. Like, those fucking Scottish get out of hand, don't they?
This kid's hitting the iron, Bruce.
He's talking
we're not
like
looking.
That. That's not in our culture.
Yeah,
bro.
We know that the Scottish came out of him in that one. We can't do anything about that.
We're more of an apologizing culture.
Yeah. You should be apologizing to Belgium for them beating you.
Buddy, what do you think of Herdman? Because one of the stats that we've talked about a lot on the show is that no foreign manager has ever won the World Cup. So usually you only win the World Cup when you have a manager from your country or a coach from your country. Granted, Canada's not up to win the World Cup.
Yeah, we didn't think we were going to win the World Cup. We're not blaming that stat.
No, but do you think you move forward with Herdman or did Herdman open the door for some Canadian coach, someone maybe in the Canadian Premier League or something, to take the reins from him and develop that squad?
Yeah, eventually it's going to be a Canadian coach. I honestly don't think Canadian soccer is ready yet. It's still growing and evolving. There's, you know, everything's new. Like all these youth systems in Canada, and you see these guys when they're 60 and they're turning pro or they're on the development league. This is all new stuff. Like when I grew up playing there at 16 years old, you just...
It was a couple of Italians in the park.
Yeah, that's it. You go, the next year, you're like, I play with the 17-year-olds. It's just the lack of development. So everything, it's eventually going to catch up. But yeah, I think so, but not anytime soon, I don't think. Maybe in 4 years, who knows? You know, maybe
you're going to be one of the hosts.
We're going to be one of the hosts. And I think we're going to really... I think this World Cup was, you know, to really, really, really prepare and get our dip our toe in the water for the next one.
This is the appetizer.
I think so. Nice. I think so. Because I think we're going to be our young guys who Buchanan, Davies, they're what, 21, 22?
Buchanan might be 26.
He is not that old. He's early 20s at best.
These guys are all going to be in their prime or approaching their prime in 4 years.
Why am I looking this up?
What is it, Harry?
He's 23.
23.
Okay. He got 27? Drafted the same year as Jack Harrison, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the same draft?
Yeah, I think so. Either the same year or maybe the year after, something like that.
But, you ever wonder if you know too much about MLS?
Nah, bro. Nah, bro. Okay.
If you know it's draft just, years,
bro, it's just I could have you.
We could get GMs on the show that don't know.
It's a shame I'm married because I'd be crushing it, dog. I know, dude. Right?
Just mushing the women away.
Tell us another stat, Daddy.
Like, I gotta walk my dog. Walk me. You know, there's a lot of that conversation.
So, but
we had espressos before.
Yeah.
We're lit right now.
I had a long.
I had two people who definitely don't need them. Okay, so let's get into the gambling during this World Cup. Alexis, you're not much of a gambler either, right? Because I barely even understand how it kind of works.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am on DraftKings every single day. I love using it, and I think you should too. Use code COOLIGANS. You're not going to get anything, but it's going to make Levitar love us even more.
We got to get a promo code.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you something. Sorry to...
You're not, please.
I'm going to not go at your sponsors a little bit, but...
No.
Little...
We're going to cut this.
Okay, perfect. So go for it. cheat code. They give you boosts, right? DraftKings will suggest bets. Never take those. No bookie is ever like, here's money. Yeah. Never, ever do the boost.
Now, follow this up with how much money have you won this year gambling?
This year in what? All sports?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to check. I have to go on my computer.
But you've won money.
This year, I'm maybe around 500, maybe a little bit lower. But last year, I did.
Okay.
Last year I did.
I'm just saying, so maybe take a boost or two, you know? If the kid's spending 12 months to make $500, maybe take a boost. So,
I'll give you an example today. I'll give you an example today of the boost. They were offering a France win plus an Mbappe, at least one goal, and it was like plus 210, but now they're saying it's plus 250, which means you put a dollar, you're winning $2.50. But they're upping it from 210, which is a dollar or $2.10. Okay?
Yes. Okay,
so then they were offering that. They were offering France win and the over for the game. So there was a lot of either fade France, you fade the over, or you fade Mbappe goals. And
okay,
two of those
fade,
did not hit.
What does fade mean? Before
thank you,
we continue?
Thank you, Christian. Oh,
okay.
Because
I'm sorry.
You act like we know. We don't hang out in the basements of bars during dogfights. So we don't know what these things mean.
You do got a bum knee, so you're halfway there.
I've actually been to a dogfight. I apologize. I grew up in Newark.
Fade just means to go the other way of what they are suggesting. Or if someone's like, yo, I'm going to pick the Giants. And you're like, I'm fading that pick. You know, it's just the opposite pick. Anyways,
got it.
Today, if you would have faded the boost that they were offering, you would have went 2 for 3. Because Mbappe didn't score. The game went under. They were suggesting the over. And France did win. So you would have went 2 for 3 if you did fade those boosts. A lot of times in gambling, it's better to not watch and just put it in and just shut it off and go for a walk. And then come back and check your account and be like, oh, thank God I didn't see that.
Oh, wow, $2.50 instead of $2.10.
I used to bet on Russian hockey, and I used to...
Hold on, repeat that one more time.
I used to bet on Russian hockey. But it used to be late at night I still do. But
we understand how time zones work.
Also Korean baseball, where I would just put the bets in, and I just close, and I go to sleep and just wake up and check my account. Like, I...
And then what do you yell? Like, we don't have rent this month.
No. I grab a pillow and I'm like, oh. I'm
sorry, like, honey.
God damn you, Kia Dragons.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really sorry, but the Samsungs didn't hit a home run this week.
No, but regardless, if you gambling now is at the point where they don't care about what the bets are. They're getting all they care about is people betting because they are getting an even amount pretty much essentially in all sports. So all they need is action. So all the boosts and all the stuff.
It's just to get you to stay on the app, hit more buttons.
As long as you gamble, they're going to make money.
And you gambled old school, right? Like when you had to call a guy.
Yeah.
That's how you started.
Yeah, we still talk. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Friends.
He's a good kid. Yeah, he's a good guy.
I help him with his website. Yeah.
He actually said something funny the other day. I was talking to him about, he's talking about like, are you going to get married? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, you know, it's 4 months salary for a ring is what they say. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And then he went like this, on paper. Man, I'm like, I know what you do, bro.
I like this guy, dude.
I'm like, I know what you do. I know it's on
OG,
paper.
OG, bro. Okay.
Bro, is everyone I grew up with your bookie, dude? This is great.
You could be so lucky.
My favorite roast joke ever was when I roasted. It's a joke I wrote, by the way. I'm just preparing you that it's me. I didn't know what to say. What's his face? Mike Cannon just got engaged. And I said, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, an engagement ring is supposed to be 3 months' salary. I don't know where he found an engagement ring for 6 drink tickets. That's
one of my beautiful.
Look at Christian laughing. Look at him.
Yeah.
We're going to Zoom fucked up.
I'm just glad we took the time to reminisce on a decent joke, Alexis.
Buddy, there's no such thing as wasted time. You're talking about your own bits, you know?
That's the point of this show.
Although, by the way, when I got engaged, it was 2 months. How the hell did it get to 4?
No, I think it's 3. I don't know.
Inflation, bro. Oh. Okay. That's it.
Oh, thank God.
The women demand more.
Yeah. Anyway, when my car got stolen, said the ring was in it, paid it off.
I think I know that story.
Couple laptops in the trunk.
A lot of times, at least for us, you know, the main things that people, I don't know if gamble is the right word, but it's about predicting like the bracket, what the bracket is going to end up like and what it's going to look
like.
Wait,
is that one of them? Like you're talking about like, yeah, you can predict, like March Madness kind of thing?
Yeah.
You can predict who was going to win, who was going to qualify, the actual order.
Seems like that would have bad odds attached to it.
Morocco, I think, to win the division was like plus 1,100. And
I love the division. They won the division like it was the NL East.
Yeah. They're going to the Big Ten next year. I'm really excited for them.
I'm pissed I didn't take it.
But the fact that it ended up, well, we know the final, obviously Argentina and France. What any predictions? Anything you're from a gambler's perspective? Anything that you're looking out for?
What's the Pavone boost?
First of all, I'd have to see the lines. I don't know what it would be. I would assume it's gonna be a pretty even game, like from a lines perspective. I assume that they're both evenly matched teams. I would to make money in that game though. If you want to just value wise. I would probably take either team to win in penalty shots because it's probably going to be like a 400, like plus 400 or something like that, plus 500. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily even pick a winner. They are offering just any team to go to penalty kicks, and it could happen. I mean, I think it's going to be a pretty balanced game. If it doesn't, you know, you just got to look at value at that point and like see what the best value is.
That is one of the things about betting on soccer that's so different than other sports is you could bet on a draw, you could bet on penalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of there's a lot more that goes into it. What about, so you're obviously a big Raptors fan. You and I talk basketball all the time. When the Raptors won the NBA Finals, were you able to gamble during that period?
No, I wasn't. No.
What stops you from hitting that button? Is it because you don't want to bet against your own team?
No, it just wasn't available at the time. I just didn't have
great
money.
All right, move on to the next question. I thought you were going to give me some like heartfelt.
No. I just didn't have money at the time.
Yeah, but if you did, you would have gambled.
I would have taken the Raptors from the jump on that that series. Yeah. For sure.
It's so hard for me
who they beat? I don't even remember who it was.
They beat the Golden State Warriors. They beat Orlando. They beat Philly. They beat Milwaukee, and they beat Golden State.
The Philly one was the crazy shot, right?
Yeah. Game 7.
Okay.
I have World Cup odds.
Yes.
Oh, we have the World Cup odds.
Yeah. Okay, go for it, Harry.
It's Argentina minus 105 or France minus 115. So it's like a
is that just to win? That's the win, not the draws. That's not the 90 minutes.
Yeah, they haven't released because it just happened. They haven't released the.
And that line will move.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people start betting on Argentina, they'll move it to get people to bet on.
Personally, I think the public's going to be on Argentina. I think people think that.
Of course, Messi.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen. But also, like, when's the last time a team's gone back-to-back in the World Cup? 60 years ago?
In 98, Brazil.
No.
98, 80, France.
It's 60 years.
Argentina got into the final. Yeah, it took a while. Two teams haven't won it, but to go back to the final, Argentina did it in 1990. Brazil did it after that.
Yeah, Argentina they won in 86, and they lost to Germany in 90, right?
Yeah.
But to win, it's been 60 years, back-to-back World Cup championship. I don't know, man. It's to be perfectly honest, it's a crapshoot. It's the best thing to do is like lay money down on a plus 500. Will the game be decided in extra time? Honestly,
I feel like that might be the worst thing to do. You said the best thing to do is to just put your money on whatever the craziest odds are.
Yeah, well, you can't put everything
what
you own.
What can you just record you? Leave a note to the people who are going to lose their homes that are our fans after this. Can you just say something into the microphone?
Yeah.
DraftKings loves this. They're like, listen, listen to these insane bets that this man's thinking
about.
Yeah,
I don't know if we need a disclaimer or anything, but if people are not
watch
aware,
the boost. Watch the boost fade the boost. It's going to be like Messi over 2.5 shots, just Argentina win.
Christian,
take France.
You have
and
this
then
tattoo.
Take the under.
It's fade the boost, baby.
It's this, you know, this is not financial advice. We do not claim to blah, blah, blah. And there, boom, the lawyers. All set. All good.
If anyone needs that disclaimer after hearing the three of us talk, sue your parents, not us.
And Pavone, who do you think is going to win the game just outright?
Fuck, I don't know. I
just now you're gambling hard, just you. What do you think?
I think France is going to win.
Okay.
And you hate a storyline, huh? Messi?
I think storylines are the exact opposite way that they win. That's why I think France is going to win. I assume the public will pile on Messi, and then France will win. That's what I assume. But that's not necessarily true or right all the time.
Right.
So I could be wrong. But generally, when the public goes in one direction, I will be like, yikes, the other way.
I'm picking, especially because I was picking France if they got to the final. But now we've heard the details of like some of the players getting sick. And Rabiot was sick, and there's a bit of a concern. And then that second half against Morocco gave me a little bit of concern. They looked a little gassed, France.
Okay,
so.
I think your comments makes me want to put money on France right now. I don't want to do anything except put money on France.
Okay.
So I was going to say, like, where
the
could
concern
the,
stuff? I'm like, okay. Yeah. Keep
I was going to say, like, where could the audience see you? But I assume it's at a soup kitchen in 2 years. This is how you gamble, dude.
France. Oh, why did I pick France?
Oh, Rabiot got healthy.
Well, it's going to be an exciting game nonetheless. Pavone, thank you so much, man. This has been
am I getting kicked off because I didn't agree?
Yeah. That's
no.
Where can people follow you?
Mr. Alex Pavone, Pavone.
On what?
Instagram. I don't have TikTok. I don't want to do TikTok anymore.
You deleted your Twitter as
I
well.
Did one. No, I got Twitter again, but I don't follow me on that. But I had TikTok for one video, and I'm done.
You done? You did it?
I hate it.
Yeah.
Do I just leave?
You could just leave. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Pavone, everybody.
Cheers, brother.
Thanks, thank buddy. You.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What an incredible interview. I mean, it's almost like we're too good at this, Christian.
I mean, this day in, day out, everybody's just like, man, you know, you guys are just too good at your jobs. You want to let somebody else eat? And I'm like, nah, bro.
Nah, fam. Give me that chicken wing, bro. That's mine.
Thank you, Alex, again for joining us. Yeah.
Alex, incredible. Came over and I said, hey, man, I'm going to order lunch. Are you hungry? He goes, oh, don't order yet. I'm hungry. Wait for me. So we sat here and we decided we were going to order Taco Bell. And then we put in a $40 order at Taco Bell. And then he told me he hasn't eaten Taco Bell in 12 years. And I told him I haven't eaten in about 8 to 10 years. And then we followed that up. By the way, he ate 4 mini bags of chips waiting for the Taco Bell to get here. And then we followed that up with espresso shots. We did 2 long espresso shots before we started. So it is a ticking time bomb here in this studio.
People are aware. We taped the show in the heart of New York City.
Uh-huh.
And a wealth of dining options are available to you.
Yes.
Yet
one of which we ordered from Taco Bell. And it was a Taco Bell cantina because booze was an option. You could order a bottle of wine along with your Taco Bell. So if you're having a romantic dinner somewhere in the upper 30s near Times Square. I got an idea for you.
Nice, honey. I'm gonna take you somewhere fancy. Okay, yeah. put on your fanciest Crocs, honey.
Yeah,
gonna be great.
Hey, what shoes you don't mind if you get maybe human poop on? I would suggest you wear those.
Are we going and to don't wear a bar? Skirt? Don't wear a skirt.
Yeah. Are you going to a rooftop bar? Well, it's a rooftop. The bar. We have to wait for our Taco Bell delivery. Shouts to Taco Bell.
Okay. Well,
that's my stomach, dude.
Lovely. It's music to my ears. Okay. Let's recap a wild game between France and Morocco. This is, you know, I think the
Who did you pick?
I said France. I said this would be the end of Morocco's story, and they about 5 minutes in, Theo Hernandez was like, "Christian, I got you." Okay,
he put fiend at the end of the month, bro.
But I wouldn't say a resounding win. I think that second half for France was a little jarring, a little scary. There were real chances for Morocco, and that early goal. Really hurt. Morocco had not been in that position all tournament where they had to like panic a little bit and really be a little bit kind of anxious and nervous of like, are we gonna score? Because they never really had to put that pressure on like we desperately need to score in any game. But that was really they had the same. You know, the support was there. The stadium was incredibly loud. From all the journalists and everybody who was there, Ivis Galarcep of SBI Soccer and obviously and CBS Sports, he had tagged us in a tweet saying that it's essentially one of the loudest stadiums he has ever been in. It's like literally, I need earplugs type loud. You heard John Strong and Stu Holden mention the same thing. So it felt a little bit like the world was rooting for Morocco in this game and not just the African continent. A lot of people really thought they, you know, the story's been great and really thought they could do it. And in that second half, I 100% thought they were going to tie the game.
The story is, I don't want to say it's a Cinderella story because it doesn't feel that way, but they were the scrappy underdog that just kept making it happen. And, yeah. You know, there's a beauty to that extending its run, one more match, but France was just too good. And I know people are saying like, yo, that second half, you know, Morocco's a good team. They're going to put pressure. They're going to try to win back momentum in those moments. And I think what you saw was just the level of skill they have just let them down in the final third. In front of goal, man, they could get right to the footstep. They just couldn't take that last step of getting it past Lloris. And it was just like, dude, every lucky bounce that could have gone France's way went France's way. It's just really tough to win that when they almost feel like a bit of a team of destiny.
Yeah, I mean, both goals came from deflected shots, both from Mbappe. So they, you know, he still had, even though they were following him a bit. I think that non-call where he got his ankle like smashed. They didn't, you know. So they tried everything they could, and he was, he was cooking them. That run that he made on right on the touchline. It's just another example of like, yes. He is incredibly an incredibly gifted player, but oh my God, why is he this fast? It's really remarkable.
He has a gear. It's like the first time you see like an electric vehicle accelerate. You're like, oh, you hit the pedal and it's gone. You know what I mean? Like he has this gear that he hits where you're like, he does this thing where he like looks like he's gonna push past the defender, but he's behind the defender, and within a blink, he is. In front of the defender. It's just really, it seems unfair. It seems like everyone else is at a different, is like not hitting the R, what is it? The R2 button. It feels like such a disadvantage for everyone else on the field. And shouts to players like Theo Hernandez and Giroud who were just laying it on the line. Trying to get this win.
And that first half, Giroud had like two great chances. He hit the post on that one.
That beautiful shot where he hit the post.
Yeah. And then the other one that the ball got back to him and he hit it on that first touch. And
the no look
where it went wide. Yeah.
Buddy, you were alone. Look.
If you would have looked, you would have seen that no one was around you.
Yeah.
so the Morocco stayed in the game, and that's how they've been this whole tournament. Like, the teams have had close chances, but the ones that teams that can't just finish those good chances keep Morocco alive in any of those matches. But the the second goal from Mouani again came from,
you mean his first touch in the game? Yeah. After being subbed on,
what a good gig to have when Mbappe is literally doing every move in FIFA on within the box. There's five defenders around him. You can't that first, when he first got the ball, where he like shook his hip to create the space and get around the defender. I'm just like, bro, this dude is unbelievable. And just again, the fact that he can do what he does, and he's so technically gifted, and then to do it at the speed that he does it. And that is a thing that I remember hearing Pep Guardiola talk about this. I think it might have been in his book or something, where he said that the difference in quality in, you know, with just a high level player is that how fast they can do the things that they do. Like,
right,
a lot of players are, you know, got techers. They can do, you know, they can do tricks, so they can shield the ball. They can have perfect first touches. But the difference is how fast can you do these things? And Mbappe, to me, is the best player in the world at doing the difficult things faster than anyone else. And today, I think, was just another example of that.
It's a combination of doing it super fast and also not really making mistakes. Like, if someone was so fast that they like lost possession because their momentum, it's like, dude, it's like the ball wants to go as fast as he does. Like, it wants to stay near him. It's a goddamn Pixar film, dude. It really is. So, I did want to bring this up. I don't know if you saw this. I forgot who it was. I want to say it was Hakimi. There's people were talking about the players dancing with their mothers on Morocco for the last win. I don't know if you saw that.
That makes sense. Maybe we were talking about that the Moroccan families were staying at the team hotel and things like that.
I can't find the quote, but somebody said it. Maybe Harry, maybe you could find it. He said, you know, it comes from our culture. Where we're from, we party with our mothers. We honor and respect our mothers. Other teams, other nations, they party with their wives.
Right, right.
It's like, yeah, I got to be honest, bro. If I'm going to party with somebody, I don't want it to be my wife, not my mom. You know what I mean? You can't really get lit at the club with your mom, though. You know what I mean?
I don't know. My mom gets wild, bro.
No? She buying bottles?
Like, damn, mom, I didn't even know you had the money for all that. Okay. Why didn't you spend this kind of money when I was a kid?
Damn, bro. First of all, this is my inheritance. Just so you could have the little sparklers on top of a bottle of Grey Goose? Casamigos to the throne, ma?
No, it's a fascinating thing, and I'll also recommend to people. I'm not there, so I can't show it. But the little girl, you retweeted this. The little girl that the little Moroccan girl that was trashing Ronaldo, who became a hero to a lot of Moroccans. If you haven't seen it, it's just a little girl saying, you know, Ronaldo, the airport's that way, or
Portugal airport is that, which cute. And she's like, oh, Ronaldo's in his car crying.
This girl.
By the way, all of the attitude of a Cuban aunt. This girl has it.
It was great to see. And it went viral on TikTok, that clip. And it started, I think the Ronaldo fans were so upset at this little girl. They were preying on the downfall of Morocco. So she got, you know, in the line of fire of the Ronaldo comments, and I hope she's a stronger person after it. You know,
how old is this girl? What, like
eight years old?
She's 8 years old, and Ronaldo stans are going after her,
bro. And this is also an interesting thing that I learned on TikTok after this went viral. There's a, you know, we were talking about Morocco representing Africa, representing Arabs, And there's a it's news to me, and this is why I appreciate World Cups in this aspect, because it opened up a conversation that I never really knew about, is that Moroccans don't necessarily identify as Arab. Some feel that they are Arab. Some feel they are not. There's like different. There's a different language. I don't want to butcher it's like an indigenous heritage. I forgot the name of it. It starts with an A. But there's a lot of diversity even within Morocco, and it started interesting conversations happening, especially on TikTok, with people talking about, you know, Morocco being embraced by the continent of Africa, or even some Moroccans being, even on the team, they're like, I represent Africa, not Arabs. And you know, so it's just an interesting aspect of the country and the team that I did not know about. And I appreciated that I got to learn about it. So I will.
Yeah. One of my good friends growing up is Moroccan and Jewish. And he said there's like a really big population of Jewish Moroccans or Jews in Morocco. And I remember his fiance at the time, wife, who didn't like me, and that's the reason we're no longer friends. He chose his wife. Really? What? Wow, dude, what a simp. She's Ashkenazi, and she was livid at the way they honored the different holidays and stuff. She's like, this isn't how you're supposed to do Purim. Like, there's music playing, they're gambling, we're playing poker. And she's like, this isn't Purim. You know, it's supposed to, like, every holiday, like, I guess the Ashkenazi tradition is to be a bit more, like, reserved during certain celebrations.
Yeah.
And the Moroccan style is to celebrate it a bit more. So there was a lot of issues there. But I enjoyed the parties. So thank you. But, yeah, I learned a lot about Morocco through that. But this is, like, a big – Ronaldo stands – They're having a rough time. They're having a bit of a rough time. There's Zito. Shouts to Zito. If you get a chance, give him a follow. He's at underscore Zeets. Z-E-E-T-S. Absolutely hilarious. Yeah, he found this guy, and I don't want to say the name, but his profile photo is Ronaldo. And that is...
plenty are. Yeah, there's a lot of those out there.
It's usually a bad sign. It's usually not a great sign. You're not going to get well-thought-out tweets.
Right.
When
it's similar to, you know, white dude with Oakley sitting in his car.
100%.
Avatar.
Backwards cap. Very similar, add enjoys bacalao. You know what I mean? And you got it. So he tweeted out, this was immediately after Argentina wins. This is the tweet. He put, I'm reading, quote, there must be a reason why this is all happening. I believe in God. There's no way he'd do this for no justified reason. Maybe he's trying to show me something beyond football. Maybe it's that the world we live in is rubbish and we should only focus on trying to enter paradise. Second tweet. Not a hard concept to understand, is it? I care about football a lot. God may be telling me to stop giving a fuck and only focus on being a good person. Everything here is temporary and meaningless. That is a Ronaldo fan's answer to the fact that Lionel Messi is 90 minutes away from potentially being considered the GOAT without there being any further argument because a World Cup is attached. And that's what the conversation I want to have with you. Does this solidify him as the GOAT? Does he need the World Cup to shut that conversation down?
To shut the conversation down, yes, but does he really need the victory to I'll say this. Did you see the comment from post game after the game against Croatia? There was an Argentinian reporter that was thanking him, just saying, like, no matter what happens, you know, in the final, you mean so much to Argentina. And you know, just giving him that praise and that respect, regardless of the result of the final. So to Argentina, no, he doesn't need to win the World Cup. To everyone else, yes, to shut down that conversation. Because the I think the weirder thing happening now, especially the tweets that are coming out during the World Cup, there were after Portugal lost, there were certain players that were saying, like, I don't remember who it was, but there was a player that's currently playing somewhere, and he said,
Ronaldo currently playing.
I'm just saying an active player, not like you know, Wayne Rooney put out a tweet about Messi's he quote tweeted
himself from 2012.
From 2012, saying you know, Messi's the greatest ever, and he's just like saying, look, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
But then another player was like, Ronaldo has done so much for this game, he should be more respected. And it's like, all right, bro, you're like, what? He's had the last few years that he's had. It's obvious he is more of a distraction than he is a benefit to a lot of teams in the last few years. That's just the reality. So his career is sort of flaming out, and people being like, it ain't 2012 anymore, right? We're not in the past. We're here now. Messi's still doing it at a very, very high level, and the guy who is his in the GOAT conversation is not doing it at a very high level. So you can live in the past, but you sound ridiculous as you're defending him now. It makes no real sense. And I don't know if you saw the tweet from Chad Ochocinco.
No.
I want to just make sure I have it in front of me, because this is wild that he tweeted this. He tweeted about Messi.
Wait, you're talking about America's number one World Cup fan.
the number one fan, Chad. I'm like, I'm respect. I mean, look, he's we've met him. He's a good dude. But this
he is a good dude.
This is wild that he tweeted this. He tweeted after the Argentina-Croatia game. Oh, damn, where is it? He tweeted it yesterday. I'm gonna find it. But he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he goes like, oh, I kind of get it now. Yo, Messi's really good. Like, essentially, like, it took now to figure out.
35 years old?
It's like, oh, yo, now I get what y'all talking about. This dude.
It's like when a girl's like, oh, my ex wasn't shit. Everybody was right. Yeah, you know?
Okay, I just found it. He goes, this is the exact quote. It says, if you're a Messi fan, I totally get it now. That move on the touchline to free himself up and get that pass off to Alvarez inside the 18 was a thing of beauty to see in person. Bro, you didn't need to see it in person. You could have seen a YouTube highlight reel with terrible music over it, and you should have said this maybe 15 years ago. This is wild.
100%. You know what I can tell you? I can tell you that Citizen Kane is a great film. I didn't have to be on set. You know what I
mean? Right? You can. It's a safe hypothesis to make.
You ain't really got to test it out. You can say it and walk away and be like, that guy's got ideas.
Bro, that's the tweet started with, if you're a Messi fan, I totally get it now. You might be the only one to totally get it right now.
Right. If you and Ronaldo were the only two on the fence.
Just surreal. And so that's it, the Ronaldo stands, the Ronaldo defense when it comes to this GOAT debate. It just looks more and more ridiculous. I don't know how much more evidence do you need? Well, is it, you know, he does what he does on the pitch. Yes, he's had unbelievable moments, especially at club level. Yes, he won the Euros with Portugal as the coach. You know what I mean? So he's had big moments. Yes, but what Messi has done is, I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again. The conversations, and I saw Sam Stasekull was just on CNN earlier today, and they asked him. It's just like when the non soccer people are like, we gotta say the names we know, and they say like, who's the best ever? They were talking about Messi, Ronaldo, and stuff, and then they had the conversation of like best ever, Pele, Maradona, Messi. Those three names. And who would be out of those three? And then Ronaldo's not really in consideration when it comes to best ever, because and in their conversation, that's how they approached it. But then but if you think about it in that way, Messi has surpassed. The only thing he doesn't have that Maradona does is the World Cup. But as a club,
you mean the opposite? Maradona has it,
right? Meaning, Messi doesn't have that World Cup. So But at club level, Messi has won absolutely everything. He
also won Copa America as well. So he has a regional competition like Ronaldo does. Oh, he played in the final. Ronaldo didn't.
Right.
You know, at least not for long.
And Pelé is the only difficulty in, like, obviously, literally one of the great. He invented the way the game is played today. I'm not taking anything away from him. But the game was just different back then when he was playing.
It's also so long ago. I mean, how many people that are alive right now could say they saw him playing his peak?
Right. So yeah, that's the...
If so, that guy's getting pills and Jell-O handed to them right now.
so that's the main thing. It's just like, as far as best ever, I mean, we're seeing it. What he's doing at this level is remarkable. And Ronaldo can't even start for his country. So where is the conversation? I think it's pretty much over.
Which leads me to the next conversation, which is, what happens if Messi wins? What is the story of Ronaldo? Because I'll agree with you on one thing. I don't think Messi needs the World Cup, but if Messi doesn't win the World Cup, he is a GOAT. If Messi wins the World Cup, he becomes the GOAT. It's a little different. That the asterisk or the conversation, the argument, for the most part, goes away. If you're a Ronaldo stan, you're probably always going to fight for Ronaldo to be considered the GOAT. But odds are you're the only ones arguing that argument. Everyone else is on side of like, hey, Messi won the World Cup. It is what it is. But if Messi wins the World Cup, what is the universal argument about Ronaldo? What's the universal understanding of Ronaldo?
Well,
it's going to be someone who could have been the greatest of all time, but got in his own way. It's going to be someone whose attitude and ego got the best of him. He refused to stay somewhere. He was stripped of his captaincy in his last World Cup. He was benched in his last World Cup. He walked off the pitch at Old Trafford when he played for Manchester United, did interviews that sort of shaded his own team and his own manager and got him forced off of that. Couldn't find a club to buy him for, you know, a summer and a January transfer window, and decided to move for a big money move to Saudi Arabia, which, shouts to the Saudi Arabian League. Obviously, you have some great players that did a lot of stuff in the group stages. But for all intents and purposes, for the argument that we're having, it's irrelevancy. His own ego threw him into being irrelevant in a country where playing football there doesn't put you in the biggest stages and in the brightest lights. Shouts to you for getting all that money, but that's going to be what the argument about him is. This completely removes any potential argument he has about being considered the GOAT, because now you're going to rate his career and you're going to go, oh, when he left Real Madrid, he couldn't take it and it all collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a thing lots of players in the latter stages of their career kind of go through. But he wanted to maintain playing at a high level, maintain playing at a big club, and blah blah blah. Like, it didn't work out. I mean, it's still not to say that he's been a bad player. You know, most teams, most clubs, most countries don't win the trophy at the end of the season. I think the final is going to determine the direction of these debates a little bit. But look, I'm pretty sure the ESPN FCs and Bleacher Report are still, till the day we die, will be posting about who is better, blah, Ronaldo or Messi. Their engagement is just too delicious. The analytics is just so great to keep talking about. And that's the point. The point is to have us constantly debating it, constantly arguing about it. And then there'll be somebody else, you know. Mbappe is going to climb into that conversation.
It's going to become Mbappe versus Haaland next.
Right. And that's the nature of it all. So it's like,
I can hear it now, dude. You're in England at some pub and people are arguing, who's the greatest? Is it Mbappe? Is it Haaland? Is it Christian Pulisic? It's just with arguments, I can hear it. I can hear it.
I see. Oh, my God. Am I looking at my American crystal ball? Yes, I see it.
Okay. Just like my abuela would be arguing, dude. It's just in English.
So, okay. So we know the final. The final is going, France and Argentina. This is...
Christian, do you want the back-to-back or do you want the storyline of all storylines?
I'll take the storyline, but I think I'm trying to be realistic. You know, my heart is saying Argentina. My brain says France, but there's two people that I want Argentina to win for, and that
my God!
That guy?
That's it, Kevin. I want for him and for Grant Wall, who is adopted Argentina as like his second nation, and that would be the story. So, do I think it's possible? Yes, it's going to be very, very difficult. But after, and I mentioned it when we were talking to Pavone, after that second half where I did think France. Not crumbled, but they showed
a lot of their
yeah. You see it there, and I think the heart and the energy, and I think you know the you know 11v11, the French players are generally. I think you would probably pick out of a combined 11, you would probably pick more of the French players, but I think Argentina can. My heart is saying they can do it. That's it. That's my answer.
I'm pretty much going to just mirror what you just said. The storyline's too rich for it not to go this way. Yeah. You know, if France wins, even though I said that they'd probably win in the beginning, I'm going to be booing them, dude. Get out of the way of a good story. Don't ever let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Right,
dude.
You ruined the movie, bro.
Yeah, man, don't do it, dude. I can't imagine just the 11 guys... or the 10 guys that are going to be starting around Messi. Well, 11 because of the goalkeeper as well. They're going to be starting around Messi. There's going to be blood on that pitch. They're just going to leave it all out there.
Yeah.
So this man wins one. And I really don't. Look, we've said it on the show before, right? Argentinians, sometimes they don't say they're Latinos. You know what I mean? They have a little bit of an ego with them. It's not exactly the country I root for when it comes to stuff like this because you kind of can be unbearable. But I'm willing to take that because the storyline is just too good.
Yeah.
This is again, like you said, it's a movie, bro. And you know, Christian's got COVID. I've got one knee. Like we struggled. Okay. So that we could be here for this World Cup. Let it end the way it's supposed to end, France.
Dude, yeah. We, you know, nobody has, you know, given their all, their bodies for this World Cup like the Cooligans have. So,
bro, his lungs, my knees, bro. We've left it all on the line, bro.
So we will be back with you after the final on Sunday. So come right
will
here.
Will you be testing negative by then, dude?
I hope so. I don't know what this is. This COVID is going to get the golden ball, bro. This thing has
What more consistent player has there been, dude?
Everywhere, okay?
Best defender, dude. It's stopping you from doing everything.
So, yeah, hopefully I'm in the studio after the final. Everybody, give me all the support that you're going to be giving Argentina. I could use some of it. So, yes, we will be back. We have one show left from the World Cup Daily. And just a reminder, I'll probably say this again after we're done, but this show, it's a sports show, yes, but it's also a comedy show. So it isn't something like if you haven't listen to the past episodes, you're not going to be like, you know, disappointed because you know the results of the games. You're actually, the show is still entertaining. So I highly recommend people go back.
How about this? In even all our past episodes, we just watched the game and we don't even know the results. We forget them right away.
The results have nothing to do with the quality of the
no,
show.
That's not what you're here for.
So, but it's been an awesome experience so far. And we have one episode left on Sunday. That will be December 18th. So tune in. It's going to be
wild.
Hey,
what did you think of the reaction of our debate, Gio versus Berhalter?
We got a lot of people agreeing with you, a lot of people agreeing with me. It's a nice...
Okay, it's kind of 50-50.
It's kind of 50-50. People, they have different management styles, okay?
There is one tweet that I do want to read that somebody sent us. Look, it was... I'm not reading it because he sided with me, but I do want to read it because it doesn't feel like it makes sense, but I'll take it as credit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel real. Let's see if I could find it. It's in the replies.
Okay. Well, I'll read one. This one came from Justin Thomas. It says, Alexis couldn't be wronger on like five different angles.
Okay. Lena Luther Vandross said Alexis is right. Okay, like, don't read just the ones where it makes it sound like everyone is against me, okay? What's his face? Sanjaya SOB said, if not Alexis ever ran for office, I'm 100% voting for him because he exudes exemplary leadership and team-building skills. It's clear he should be the leader of the Cooligans. Thank you very much.
Feels but that's a not little the one sarcastic, I but I don't know, okay?
Look, you got to take it for face value. Okay, this is, I think we've met this man, Logan Dodds, have we not?
Portland fan. I don't know.
Okay. This is what he said. He said, as someone who has a degree in leadership and leads various types of teams through events to learn how to be a better teammate and leaders, I have to agree with Alexis on this one. Now, I don't know what this man does.
A leadership degree? What's a leadership degree?
He has someone with a leadership degree, but he also leads, again, doing what he got the degree in, leads various types of teams through events to learn how to be better teammates and leaders. So he's a leadership degree and he leads events with teams to teach them how to be teams and leaders. It's great. And he agrees with me. I mean, could you find a better person?
Just a random Twitter person who has a leader, who has a leadership degree. Of course.
Just the Logan Dodds. And then here's Justin Thomas, who said Alexis couldn't be more wrong. But that actually feels like the only one that really scolded me.
there were a few. Look at the YouTube comments, bro. There's a lot of people there who highly disagree with you and some who highly disagree with me. But okay, it's all good.
Again, if you told me that there's YouTube comments that agreed more with me, I'd feel like I lost. Does that not make sense?
Okay. So, yes, go listen. If you haven't listened to our Berhalter Gio Reyna debate, feel free to do that. That was on the prior episode. So,
I knew it was going to be a hot topic because Shaguna tweeted out at Soccer Cooligans, Dad and Dad, please stop arguing.
Okay. You're making the children upset, okay?
Also, she says she listens to us at 2x speed. Could you imagine?
I mean, I speak at
what does this sound like? 2x speed.
I speak at a reasonable pace. Alexis is a little bit.
Yeah, I know, dude. I got to be the one to pick this up, dude. I got to keep the energy going.
All right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on another big show. We'll be back on Sunday after the World Cup final. As always, follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere you can. And make sure you join the Patreon as well, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Anything else before we go? I think we're good.
Vamos, Messi. Come on.
Let's go. All right, everybody. See you on Sunday. Peace.
Love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.